Can you turn mine up? Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council Chambers. We're really glad that you're here. How many of you are attending the City Council Chambers for the first time in the last, let's say, 5 years? All right, so let me just explain some of the rules of the chamber, and the rules are intended to facilitate the ease to which people testifying can say their piece. And so that means that there's no hollering, no hooting, no clapping, no noise. If you like something, you're welcome to do this. You can also do this or this. But I will have security remove you. So no fuss, no drama. I'm just going to have security remove you if you start making noise. That's because I want everyone to feel comfortable saying whatever it is they have to say, whether or not the rest of the room agrees with them or not. And this is the way that we do it. The other thing is, by local law, if you are a lobbyist or someone who is authorized to speak on behalf of a business, an organization, a neighborhood association, any organized group, if you're here to speak for more than just yourself, you need to disclose that under local lobbying law. Then there's a whole bunch of bureaucracy that you have to fill out and report later on what you did behind that. The bathrooms in this building are located on the, am I doing this right? The south is the men's room and the north is the women's room. Flagging, putting things up makes security very nervous, so no waving of signs. If you want to have signs in front of your chest, that's fine. We call people based on how they're signed up. I give deference to other elected officials and folks with small children. How many here are with small children? Okay, so if you want to make your way, you're okay down here, but if you want to make your way, if you've signed up to testify down here, we'll do that. There'll be a presentation, then there's invited panels, and then we go right to testimony. I'll be calling panels for, right, and panels against?
Right.
And do we have a panels, I don't know? We don't. You got to choose for or against. So again, we're really glad that you're here. This meeting will go on. A number of folks on council, I will play it by ear how long the meeting goes on. A number of members of council have prearranged absences or other responsibilities. There's no vote today, so we're just taking testimony. Next week, the council will be considering this for a vote. This is the week, though, we have public testimony. There will be no public testimony next week. This is called the first reading. With that, this is Carla. You must do everything she tells you to do. She works very, very hard. She is the council clerk. How are you doing, Carla?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Can you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We shall proceed, beginning with item, time certain, 2 p.m., item number 1003, non-emergency ordinance. Can you please read the title?
Authorize and direct the Portland Water Bureau to fluoridate the City of Portland's drinking water supply to the optimal levels beneficial to reduce tooth decay and promote good oral health as recommended by the Oregon Health Authority.
Commissioner Randy Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Adams and colleagues. Do we, maybe we could bring our first panel up.
Okay.
So that as I make my remarks, they can begin as soon as I'm done.
So that would be Nicole Maher, Dr. Lisa Bozzetti, Gail Pizzuto, Dr. Mike Plunkett. And unlike your mayor, please silence your cell phones. I forgot to silence mine.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here today. One in three kids in Portland have tooth decay. One in five kids in Portland have rampant tooth decay. That is, are walking around right now with seven or more cavities in their head. Over twice as many kids in Oregon suffered tooth decay than the kids right next door in the state of Washington. Worse, Oregon is near the bottom of the list in the United States for childhood oral health. Not a place that we want to be. For every dollar that we spend as a community in cost associated with fluoridating the water, citizens save about $38 in dental health care costs. And this is what I think is really important for people to understand, especially here about this debate. Over 73% of Americans currently drink fluoridated water. That's over 204 million people. The Centers for Disease Control said the following, and I quote, "Fluoridation of drinking water was one of the 10 great public health achievements of the 20th century." So in the 20th century, you'll recall, we came up with the vaccine for polio. We came up with vaccines for some of the most horrendous childhood and adult diseases known to humankind up until the 20th century. And in that context, the Centers for Disease Control said still, fluoridation of water systems in the United States ranked among the top 10 achievements in this country. Organizations such as NIA, the Native American Youth Association, Medical Teams International, Kaiser, the Oregon Dental Association, the Oregon Nurses Association, Portland African American Leadership Forum, the African Partnership for Health, the Asian Health and Service Center, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, the Urban League, Upright Brewing Company, Centers for Disease in the Public Interest, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Children's Dental Health, 100 Black Men of America, the American Cancer Society, the American Society of Dentistry for Children, U.S. Public Health Service, and the World Health Organization have endorsed, and those are just a few that I've read, have endorsed fluoridating public water systems. It is time for Portland to join every other large city in the United States and do what they all have been doing, and that is fluoridating their public water systems. We talk about equity in this community, and the people that suffer the most from not having fluoridated systems are kids, and particularly kids of color, and poor kids. And it has to stop. This is a public health issue. This is an issue that ranks with me up with making sure our kids are vaccinated before they go to school. It's about protecting their lives, preparing them for the future, and making sure they have every advantage possible that a modern society can offer to children to succeed.
Okay, you're out. Sorry, we're going to be removed. I gave you warning. You've got to leave the room. Sorry. I gave you warning. You've got to leave the room. Goodbye. Sorry, you've got to leave the room there. I gave you fair warning. I meant it. This is about you had a chance before you were just removed to speak your piece, but you will not have your chance now. Commissioner?
And so this discussion has gone since I was 22 years old. When I was 22 years old, I was an intern in the Oregon legislature from Portland State University. I sat in the galleys having to think of what my next paper would be that I had to turn in to earn credit for being an intern in the Oregon legislature. And I observed the galleys filled much like I see here today with people feeling strongly on both sides of the issue of public fluoridation. I watched down onto the Oregon House floor as two elected state representatives got into a shoving match in the center aisle, fighting over public fluoridation of water systems. If I thought there was any reason to believe some of what we just heard in the outburst, some of what I've been given to read was true, I would not support public fluoridation of water systems in the United States. But unfortunately, everything I've read, everything I've been asked to read, everything I've watched on YouTube, every email I've read is either filled with untruths or misrepresentations of the truth. But let me be clear about one thing. Anything that's recommended to be taken as a prophylactic to prevent something bad from happening can be abused and can be toxic. For an example, if you take too many aspirins, it can cause severe internal bleeding and even lead to death. But every doctor tells people, particularly of my age, to take an aspirin a day to prevent a heart attack. Or if you're in the middle of suffering a heart attack, to take an aspirin to reduce the damage caused by the heart attack. Or if you're having a stroke, to take an aspirin to save your life. And that does save lives, but certainly in that dosage. If you take too many Advils, it can cause liver damage. And the list goes on. The dose that we're talking about, 0.7 parts per million, 7/10 of one part per million, is the minimal recommended dose for preventing tooth decay. It does not cause the type of harm that each of us here have received hundreds, if not thousands, of emails claiming. It does not, and it will not. So thank you for your indulgence, counsel, over this past few weeks. As we've had a very raucous debate here. And thank you, panel, and the other panels for coming forward and helping us reach the decision that we will make later.
And I'm going to save my comments to the end of the hearing. I want to listen to everything. I appreciate that. And we'll go right to Nicole Maher.
This is Nicole Maher, and I have the pleasure of serving as the president for Northwest Health Foundation. We are a foundation that works in partnership with the community to advance health, to advance opportunity, and we serve the entire state of Oregon as well as Southwest Washington. Northwest Health Foundation has been a longtime advocate of water fluoridation because we recognize it as one of the single most impactful public health measures in the history of this country. And we know that it has the best opportunity to decrease disparities and allow everyone in our community to live up to their potential. Today, I want to emphasize that this is really an issue of social justice. And it's very dear to my heart because it's not just an issue of social justice. It's an issue that has the potential to benefit everyone in this community. And what makes this conversation in this community so special today is that for the first time, we have all of the communities at the table and part of the conversation. Historically, the communities who have suffered the most from not having fluoridated water have not been at the table, have not had a chance to talk about how it impacts their communities and their children. And today is different because, as you can see from the list that Commissioner Leonard read and the 70-plus groups that support this initiative, we are all at the table, we are unified, and we are saying that our children deserve healthy teeth. I also want to reflect back on my experience for the last 11 years. Many of you know me through my experience as the executive director of NEA Family Center, who actually serves the 4-county area. And I had the opportunity firsthand to see what it does to a community when there is not water fluoridation. I think of when we started our first Head Start program, and 13 of the 18 kids that were there had complete dental decay, 13 3- and 4-year-olds with full mouths full of metal. And I want to point out that the families that were part of this Head Start program, these are our families who are the most active, the most engaged. These are families who love their children and care about their health. And yet here they were experiencing significant dental decay. Children, the number one reason that children miss school is due to dental decay, and the number one reason children go to the emergency room in this community is because of dental decay. Now I, many of you know, am a mother of a 2- and a 3-year-old. And we are a fortunate family. Our family has health insurance. We have 2 parents in the home who are college educated, one of them with a master's in public health. And there isn't a day that goes by when I brush the teeth of my children that I don't think about and worry about the impact to their oral health because we do not live in a community with fluoridation. The last thing I wanted to say is that I really have faith in your ability to make this decision. This community has voted on multiple occasions to affirm our form of city government. And the 5 of you, I believe, will make the right decision. Think about the issues of equity and fairness and the opportunity for all of our most vulnerable children and families. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Dr. Bozzetti?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, City Council Commissioners. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm the Dental Director at Virginia Garcia Memorial Health Center, a federally qualified health center which predominantly serves low-income kids and adults. I'm also a member of the Oregon Oral Health Coalition and care greatly about the oral health of kids in Oregon. At the clinic every day, I witness firsthand the dental health crisis, and I think about how access to fluoridated water would cut the decay, pain, and suffering I see by at least 25%. That's a big difference and an urgent need for a solution. The issue of the dental health crisis affects me both personally and in the community that we serve. We see kids with early childhood caries, which is defined as having more than 7 cavities in their mouths containing only mere 20 teeth. Many require complex treatments, including kids' root canals, stainless steel crowns, and other extractions when these teeth are badly infected. Just at our clinic alone, we sent 2 kids to local hospitals for treatment due to severe life-threatening infections caused by dental caries. This takes a toll on a child's development, ability to concentrate in school, and compromises their overall health and well-being. This, like all dental disease, is completely preventable. One of the kids I just mentioned was a 6-year-old boy who we sent to St. Vincent's Hospital for immediate care due to cellulitis, which is an infection of the spaces in the face. The infection had spread from his upper baby molar to his eye. Upon arriving to the hospital, a CT scan showed that his infection had spread further and there was concern about spread to the brain. So the child was admitted overnight, placed on IV antibiotics, and monitored. The next day, a pediatric dentist was brought in to do the extraction before the little boy could be sent home. The pain and suffering that this little boy had to go through is completely unacceptable, let alone the stress that it puts on his parents who worried if he was going to be okay. The truth is this kid could have died. On a personal level, I cannot accept that, knowing full well that dental disease is completely preventable. Another young girl came to us at age 15 with all her permanent molars completely decayed to the point of needing to have them all removed. She had draining fistulas or pus pockets throughout her mouth. She was a star athlete in high school and experienced pain that affected her performance both in school and in her sports. Her family had not brought her to the dentist until she was in pain, and she is a perfect example of the type of child who could benefit from water fluoridation without ever stepping foot in a dentist's office. These are not isolated stories. I've only picked a few to share with you here today to show the pervasiveness of the issues that we see in our clinics. In the communities we serve, we do have pockets of areas where fluoridated water is available now, and we do see fewer problems in these areas. This has been well documented through Head Start screening data that we can also corroborate with our own data. I was also shocked upon moving here from California that there are so many little pits in Oregonian teeth. I call them Oregon pits. These little pits are enamel defects that I often see in permanent molars, harbor bacteria and plaque that cause cavities. In my own experience, I don't know how many times I've seen a nice newly erupted molar, only to find a big pit and enamel defect with dental caries almost immediately upon appearing in the mouth. Frankly, I rarely saw this in the patients I saw in California where there was fluoridated water. Interestingly enough, California is only 62% fluoridated, yet the difference is still quite noticeable. Fluoride plays a critical role in the development of teeth before they erupt, so that they are stronger and more resistant to decay. I've also seen patients throughout my career who have come from places like Michigan who are in their 50s and 60s and have benefited from fluoridation in their entire life, only to come to Portland in later adulthood. Their teeth take on this glassy look and typically have very few, if any, cavities. It's really incredible as a dentist to actually see this. Sadly, many folks don't realize upon moving here that we don't have the added protection of fluoride in our water. So many folks just assume that all water is fluoridated in big cities. I find it interesting to note that most of our patients actually think that our water is fluoridated. I'd like to add, too, just one of my staff dentists, Dr. Megan Sapp, who unfortunately could not be here today, shared with me that upon moving here from North Carolina, where she had 87% of the water source is fluoridated, she was completely shocked to see the amount of decay that we have here in Oregon. She presumed, like many others, that Portland was fluoridated. She was dismayed to find that Portland was not, and then all of the cavities that she was seeing started to make sense. Oregon has a long way to go in terms of catching up on dental health and to provide good oral health to our residents. Whether or not you see a dentist, everyone benefits from the protection of fluoride in their water. Please make the right decision for the community and future generations and provide access to fluoridated water for our communities. I really thank you for the time and for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you. And just for terminology, you call cavities caries?
Yes.
And I noticed that the literature calls them caries and cavities.
Thank you. I must have slipped up and
that's medical, said that, the official medical term?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And it's my understanding locally the closest cities that we share, I think we actually share boundaries with Beaverton, and we share a river with Vancouver, Washington, are 2 cities locally that fluoridate.
Correct.
Okay. Hi, are you Gail Pizzuto?
Yes, I am.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is Gail Pizzuto, and I'm recently retired from the Multnomah County Health Department Dental Program. And I was the program manager for MultiCare Dental, which is one of the dental insurance plans under the Oregon Health Plan, for over 15 years. We had approximately 25 to 30,000 members. The majority of them were children. During my 15-plus years in the dental program, I was shocked to see that so many of our children had cavities in almost every tooth in their mouth. I personally approved hundreds of referrals to pediatric dentists who needed to use IV sedation to treat these children. It would often take 4 to 8 appointments because every tooth needed to be restored and some extracted. Many children needed to be treated in a hospital under general anesthesia due to the severity of their needs. Some of them were only 2 years old. The majority of the children that we saw needing extensive treatment ranged in age from 2 through 6 years old. The cost of treating these children was enormous. The cost per child would range from $1,500 to over $4,000, not to mention their pain and discomfort. But these were the fortunate children because at least they had dental insurance. The dental program received calls from school nurses, parents, and families who had no dental insurance. These children were often in too much pain to attend school. For them, finding adequate dental services was much more difficult. The dental community throughout the state has worked together to develop programs, provide treatment, and do whatever they could to stop dental disease. It is time to fluoridate our water. Not only will our children benefit, but all of us as well. Dental disease is preventable. Having fluoridated water is a huge first step in the right direction for all of us and our children.
So we're suffering from, I guess our video feed is not going out. So I'm going to suggest a pause in the proceedings, and I apologize to all of you while our technicians seek to work on this. So we're not getting feed to the TVs of folks watching in the overflow rooms. We're not getting the live feed out. Or I just try to get it online. We're not getting the online feed. So I do apologize, everybody. And we're going to take a break. And feel free to use the accommodations, your seats. If you leave, come back to the same seat.
I bet I could look it up on my slide.
He was looking. Can I get your name?
Yeah, Anissa.
Will you turn me around tomorrow?
Sure. Do you want my cell phone?
Sure.
503-522-5629.
Okay, I can leave you my cell as well. I actually will not.
No, it was Russian. And then one time when I was in the
Arts Center,
the
Arts
just had some big.
Oh, okay.
When we can start again.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
You did a really good job.
Oh, thanks. I don't know, it'll be totally different if I have to do it again.
I know.
You guys are both great. I mean,
awesome.
Kind of
like changing.
Thanks for
both. I mean, you all were awesome.
I appreciate that. That's great. Unfortunately, I need to.
There's like not enough time to tell all the stories.
It goes on public access TV. Okay. And online. But thanks for the offer.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a good problem.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah, they do. Well, little kids until they're like 6. You're totally right.
Nice to see you.
Little kids up until they start getting permanent teeth. They have 20, so.
I'd recently retired.
So keep bringing her back all day.
Probably the I know her name. But were you? Did you ever go to the? Oh yeah. You saw probably our baby day program, where they put fluoride on the baby's teeth like 2 years.
We do that program thanks to them as well. So it's really great having all these collaborative efforts and.
It's good. Like a little too good.
Yeah, really good.
It's great.
So, are you going to the AMB potlatch on
Saturday?
I was going to go, but I think I have a conflict. I joined AMB.
So
I was looking forward to it, but I can't wait.
You can't.
No.
It doesn't work.
A lot of people there?
They'll get a lot of people there. They actually get all kinds of amazing food flown in from Alaska, so they usually do like herring. It's next year, so.
Yeah.
No, but I've still been working really closely with Matt on the name.
It was just kind of like I was trying to look up, and then I like lose my space, and I was like, no, I can't do this anymore.
There's some preliminary fundraising conversations.
Yeah. Look forward to hearing more.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, Sharon. The next five panelists have a lot of time, so the timing is.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, good job.
Oh, thanks.
It's really good. It's really good. It's good that you don't.
Yeah.
I get
so nervous.
It's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
I envy people who can just do that.
And, like, I try to look up a little bit, and then I, like, at the end, I just like I lost my face one time, and I was like, oh, okay, I got to dream.
I mean, what a theoretical.
Yeah, they didn't notice that right away.
Did you see them go up there?
Yeah, no, I mean, he just wanted to be close to the slide.
No, Ely wanted to do the punch thing because you didn't.
Yeah, okay.
And so he's going to do it for you.
Okay.
And
then we'll go with that for.
Yeah,
either way. All right. I used to, when I was
I didn't know you left.
Oh, I didn't know that. good for the school. Good for the school, you know.
Yeah, so I probably like it.
A lot of people all have to, like, you know, so for pervasive in my mind too. But it's,
well, and that is good, yeah, because then you, it doesn't get boring.
Yeah. You can have, like, you know, your own little niche that you cover.
Yeah, just
don't understand the argument. I've tried to really honor, like, every time anyone gives it, I look it up. I mean, they were, I'm talking to an anti-fluoride person at a barbecue, and they were like, well, Europe, they use the fluoridate, and they don't anymore. And it's just totally not.
So we're going to get going again in about 5 to 10 minutes. 5 to 10 minutes. It's now 2:39. So we're going to try to reconvene and get started again at about 2:45. Technology willing.
There can't be anybody more challenging than that.
Yeah. Although the dental students all want a good grade, and they know less than I do, you know. And so, you know, you're always right for the most part, and they want a good grade. So you got them really where you want them.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, I think we're public speaking in the class. You and I were watching the show. My wife and I said, wouldn't you like to be up there?
Yes.
Give a presentation, you know. Edit all this in the night and then come back and go, wow, this is amazing, you know.
Yeah.
So she just looks at me.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't imagine that.
She was amazing. Although Bill Clinton was.
That's what I was going to say.